2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dijanovic.
This was the interview I could not stop watching, not because it was a great interview, but because it was horrible. The Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, went to Guatemala. Then she sat down with NBC's Lester Holt to discuss immigration. And Connor, by the way, if you're just joining us, Connor Boyack sitting in today for Dave Noriega. I was so flat out confused with everything she said. I get the impression that we just don't have any plan as a nation to deal with the crisis at the border.
This interview was a train wreck. There's a lot you can say about immigration policy. It's, of course, very nuanced. I can't imagine this interview having gone worse.
Yeah, as I look back on it, and I started thinking about it after I watched it, if I was her PR rep, I would have said, let's not even do the interview. But she did the interview, and it's out there. And what we're going to do for the next several minutes is play very, very, you know, long clips from the interview and see if our listeners can make sense of what I felt was the senseless. The interview to nowhere. So this interview, this part of it is about, the part I watched was about 5 minutes long, and then I just had enough. And one of the things I learned is that she's hasn't been to the border, but she also hasn't been to Europe.
Just quickly put a button. Okay. Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Well, I mentioned it because I know Republicans have certainly come at you on this. But Democratic Congressman Cuellar has a border district, has said to you and the president, come. You need to see this.
Listen, I care about what's happening at the border.
Look, what's happening at the border is in May of this year, the governor of Texas has actually said that there is such a threat down at the border that he's declared what I'm going to call a state of emergency. I think it's called something different. It was some sort of but he's got a disaster declaration, and it's going on in, I think, more than 30 counties down there because so many people are trying to get across the border and there's nowhere for them to go.
As painful as this is for me, I'm actually going to try and defend the vice president for a moment.
Here we go. The part where she hasn't been to Europe?
I'm going to attempt. Well, that part is silly, right? It's like saying, honey, did you go get groceries? You know, well, we've been to the grocery store. Like, yeah, but where's the milk? I haven't been to Europe. Leave me alone. Like, this just doesn't make any sense. But here's my defense, okay? I feel like this was a bit of gotcha journalism because, you know, sure, it's one thing to go to the border, this arbitrary line on a map, and kind of talk to Border Patrol and see what's happening there. But immigration policy doesn't need to be discussed, let alone solved, at that arbitrary line. You can be back in D.C. or in Guatemala or in these places where the kind of influences fueling the border crisis are really happening to still discuss it. And so to say, oh, have you checked the box? Have you been to the border so that you can have your token photo op and, you know, claim that you're working on the issue? That's a superficial you know, vanity metric.
It so we're just saying we're not going to get a lot from her visit to the border anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So she shows up, hangs out for a couple hours, shakes a few hands, takes photos, and suddenly we feel better about her working on the immigration crisis? Give me a break.
Might feel better than listening to more of that interview.
To be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border, do not come. Do not come. The United States will continue to enforce our laws and secure our border. There are legal methods by which migration can and should occur.
And that was her earlier in the day explaining to folks in Guatemala not to come to the U.S. So she starts off the trip by sending mixed signals. Because I think people felt as though we were going to be receptive after President Biden took office to those who came to the border. And they've always, look, people have been coming across the border since I worked along the border in Yuma, Arizona back in 1990 and long before that. This is nothing new. But what's shocking to me is that she started this off with this mixed messages that people are already sending their kids and their family members over. They're already on these days long, weeks long, months long trek to get here.
And they're motivated to embark on those journeys for deep seated, long standing, you know, very stressful factors. I personally know many people who have in the past migrated illegally to the United States. Many families, many, I'm sorry, but the vice president at a press conference saying, don't come, right? Like, that's not going to do anything. It doesn't even factor into the decision-making process for what the problems are that these people are experiencing and the hope that is afforded to them by trying to come to a place where they can be safer, where they can earn money and support their family. Those are powerful incentives for which these people are coming, and Kamala Harris ain't going to solve that problem with a press conference.
Well, then there's this moment during her interview with NBC's Lester Holt where he asks, you know, you're visiting these other countries. What are you saying to their leaders? What are you offering this these other countries to make sure people aren't coming to America? And I just felt like her answer went in circles. I don't know what we're talking to them about. Listen and see if you feel the same way.
So, you know, we are doing the work in the region as a whole. We've been engaged as an administration, as a country, at a high level with leaders in all three of the countries.
So what specifically are you offering these countries you're visiting? What is there, is there a quid pro quo? If you do this, we'll do this?
No, it's not about quid pro quo. It's simply about understanding, if nothing else, that the return on our investment is the same return on your investment that if you have a neighbor on your block where you grew up who's having a hard time, it's in the best interest not only of your neighbor but yourself to help them out, right? And that's how we think about this work. What is the United States' interest in this? We're prepared to show up and do it in a way that is motivated by the best interest of diplomacy and democracy and goodwill.
Yeah, I have no idea what she just said. I don't know what we're offering. I don't know why my neighbor matters in all of this. I don't know what those discussions look like. I just felt that was the interview to nowhere, and I felt worse about our immigration situation and the crisis at the border after listening to our vice president.
George Orwell, who's the author of 1984, a novel that a lot of folks have read, he has this essay about politics and the English language. And in there he says that political language is designed to make lies sound truthful and to give an appearance of solidity to pure wind. In other words, this is pure wind, it's air, it's nothingness, and yet this language is designed to make it appear like it's solid. We are doing so. We've been to the border. Well, wait, have you been? Well, no, you know, like, and so this is political language that is intended to mislead us, and that's why you, Debbie, and I, and so many others are confused, because nothing is really happening. There's no substance here. This is all superficial nonsense, and I think Kamala Harris was, you know, caught off guard by trying to make her wind appear solid when in fact it's not.
She didn't pull one over on us here at the David Dujanovic Show. Hey, straight ahead, we are expecting a development in the Daybell case out of Idaho. Chad Daybell, we understand, is going to be in court any minute. Of course, he is charged in the murders of those two beautiful children, Tyree and JJ. We are going to break into coverage the minute that arraignment up in Idaho happens.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.